Welcome to A Meaningful Mess, a podcast for educators who want to engage and empower gifted learners. Whether you specifically serve gifted learners, have gifted learners in your classroom, or just want to know more about what gifted learners need from the school experience, you are in the right place. I'm Andy McNair, and I'm a keynote speaker, author, educator, and mom of my own gifted kiddos. And I know that teaching gifted learners can be challenging. But you know what? It's also incredibly rewarding. Throughout this podcast, I'll share practical ideas and strategies that will help you create a meaningful and engaging learning experience for your gifted students. I'll also talk about Genius Hour, a powerful approach to learning that can help learners explore their passion and purpose as they develop their talents. So if you're looking for ways to reach your gifted learners, I invite you to join me on this journey. Thanks for listening. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome back to episode 79 of A Meaningful Mess podcast. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about a couple of different things. First of all, we're going to talk about entrepreneurship and intrapreneurship. And if you're thinking to yourself, what did she just say? Those two things sound very similar. You would be right. They do sound similar, but they are different. So we're going to talk about the difference. And then we're going to talk about also the connection between Genius Hour and cultivating these mindsets in the classroom. So what is the difference between entrepreneurship and intrapreneurship? And then what role does Genius Hour play in helping our learners kind of cultivate and develop a mindset so that they can be one or the other? Once I explain what these two things are, I think it's going to be very clear that our learners are probably going to need to be an entrepreneur or an intrapreneur. So I actually found a definition that I thought made a lot of sense, and I wanted to read it to you. This is from Maryville University, their website or their blog. And it says, an entrepreneur takes a new business idea and starts a company to bring that idea to market. An intrapreneur is an employee who channels that same creativity and innovation to develop new products and services for an employer. So they're either doing it for themselves or they're doing it for their employer. But both of these mindsets, entrepreneur mindset or an intrapreneur mindset, has the potential to help our learners develop the skills and the things that they're going to need to be successful beyond the walls of the classroom. So like I mentioned earlier, our learners are going to be one or the other, hopefully. They're either going to be an entrepreneur, they're going to start their own business and use creativity and innovation to drive those ideas and their success and whatever that looks like. But if they're an intrapreneur, it's still important that they have that same mindset because they're doing those same things, they're just doing it for a company or for their employer. So what I want to kind of spend our time doing on this episode is making connections between some of the skills that they practice and have the ability to actually do during Genius Hour, and then consider how does that connect to this idea of entrepreneurship and intrapreneurship. And then finally, I want to discuss why this matters. Why should we even care about this mindset for our learners? First of all, Genius Hour, passion-based learning. If you haven't heard of it before, just go back and listen to some of these episodes. You'll definitely know what it is. I talk about it all the time. But basically, it's an opportunity for learners to pursue a passion and a purpose, to make an impact, and to learn by doing. So one of the episodes that I did, I talked about the difference between a research project and a Genius Hour project. And a research project really results in information, which there's nothing wrong with that. But the outcome of a Genius Hour project is action. This is really an opportunity for our students to not just find information and not just to share that information, but to gather information and then do something with it. And I really think that idea of doing something with it is what has the potential to cultivate this mindset in our learners. So obviously, let's just start with number one. Obviously, Genius Hour encourages creativity and innovation. Oftentimes, our learners just at its very core, they have to be creative to consider what project they're going to be working on. What are they going to create? What are they going to make? What are they going to design? And oftentimes, they have to be innovative with their ideas because there's no sense in just replicating what someone else has done. We really want them to have the autonomy to think about, how would I do this? How can I do this different? or how could I do this better? So creativity and innovation play a big role in the Genius Hour process. And that also plays a big role in that idea of having an entrepreneur or intrapreneur mindset. All of these things kind of weave together. And I think, you know, creativity and innovation, it's easy to think, well, these guys are just, it's just who they are as a generation, right? They are creative or they are innovative. That's not always the case. And the reality is those are skills that need to be practiced. And they're also doors that have to be opened. If learners are never given the opportunity to be creative or to be innovative, they're never going to build those muscles so that beyond the walls of the classroom, they have the confidence and they have the things in place to actually make that their reality. Okay, so encourages creativity and innovation. That is the first way that Genius Hour can start to cultivate this mindset in our learners. The second thing that I think is really important is problem-solving skills. Throughout the Genius Hour process, there are so many opportunities for our learners to solve problems. Maybe they're, just think about the materials that they need, right? I just recorded something on Instagram the other day that was sharing that if your students don't have the things that they need to work on their project, as teachers, we don't have to feel like we have to go get those things for them or we have to solve the problem. It's an opportunity for them to think critically about those things and consider what they can use instead. So what can I substitute? What might I adapt? Or what could I combine to still do what I need to do if I don't have the materials that I need? Some of you may be thinking, wait a second, those words sound familiar. If you're familiar with Scamper, I always think about using Scamper to help our learners consider different materials that they might use for their project if there are specific things they can't get. So that's one problem that they might come across throughout the Genius Hour process. They might not be able to find the outside expert that they were hoping for. They might have to make a list of other experts. There may have to be hurdles that they have to kind of get over. But that mindset of seeing obstacles as opportunities, so many of the great entrepreneurs, the people who have started amazing businesses and have been very successful, it's because they had that mindset of, wait a second, I know there's going to be obstacles and I know how to turn those obstacles into an opportunity. But the earlier we can give them an opportunity to practice that skill, the better off they're going to be. Okay, problem solving skills, number two. Number three is ownership and responsibility. And this is big. This is one of my favorite things about Genius Hour is I think there are so many opportunities for our learners to make decisions and to have ownership. But so often, just systematically, the way school is set up, we make those decisions for them or we take that ownership away. And oftentimes, sometimes I know that for me in the classroom, before my mindset sort of shifted and I started seeing the power of this, I just didn't want my students to fail. I wanted to rescue them. So I oftentimes didn't give them that ownership and responsibility because, quite frankly, I was afraid of how they might react, especially my gifted learners. Like, what will they do if they have complete ownership of this and it tanks? Like, that's going to break their heart. But in all of the Genius Hour projects that my students did throughout the years that we made Genius Hour a priority in my classroom, I can tell you that that ownership that they had was so valuable because it was what would drive the work. They were driven to do the work and to make progress because I had given them ownership. If they felt like it was something they were just doing for me, then oftentimes that ownership and that responsibility didn't happen, which meant they weren't as invested as they probably should have been and could have been. So, ownership and responsibility plays a big role in that entrepreneurship mindset. I just think about intrapreneurship in and of itself. So working for a company and developing products and ideas and things that will be valuable to that company. in order to do those things, your employer has to give you the ownership and the responsibility and the autonomy to make that happen. But if a student has never had that before and then steps into a space where that is their reality, that's going to be really overwhelming. Like, why would we not give them the opportunity to practice that and to feel that ownership and responsibility now so that it transfers beyond the walls of the classroom and it's something that they can feel comfortable in and feel like, hey, wait a second, I've been here before. I know what this feels like. And now I'm just going to settle in and do the work. All right, number four. So number three was ownership and responsibility. Number four, risk-taking and resilience. Risk-taking is so hard and can be so difficult for especially our gifted learners to even consider. When you've never taken a risk or you've never had to take a risk, the first time you're expected to do that or the first time that is something you're faced with, it can be really scary. So encouraging our learners to not only take risks, but to be resilient when that risk doesn't go the way that they had hoped is going to set them up for that mindset. And it just becomes just the way they see things. Like, okay, this is a risk. I'm going to take this risk. And there are a couple of different things that could happen. This is either going to go well or it's not going to go well. And the more they learn how to think about, if it doesn't go well, how will I respond? The better off they are going, the better off they're going to be, whether they're working for themselves or for someone else. But again, think about if you've never been put in that situation. Honestly, I think that kind of takes entrepreneurship off of the table. If you've never been given the opportunity to take a risk, entrepreneurship is a big risk. And if that's never happened for you and you don't know what that feels like, that's probably not going to be something that you're going to chase after or something that you're even willing to consider. And so risk-taking and resilience is a big part of Genius Hour. Our learners, as they pitch their idea to their peers, they're taking a big risk. Some of their peers may think that it's a great idea. Some of their peers may say, hey, I don't really like that idea. Here's something I think you could do instead. But that's a risk because oftentimes our gifted learners are always just told, hey, great job. You're doing this well. You're so smart. And so putting them in a position where somebody else might give them feedback or a different idea is a risk that they have to take in that process. They also kind of have to take the risk of deciding on a product. I oftentimes encourage teachers to, in Genius Hour, to call it an expected product because the product that they wanted to create may or may not actually be what happens. If the model volcano completely falls apart the night before the showcase, that doesn't mean that learning didn't happen. And that doesn't mean that it's not something they still need to consider. Basically, they just need to think through, hey, now my product is going to be my reflection about what I could have done differently instead of the model volcano. So just a different way to look at it. So risk-taking and resilience, really important to kind of cultivate that mindset for our learners to be innovative or to take risks, either in their own business or in working for someone else. All right, number five, project management. You guys, even in the work that I do, project management is important. And sometimes I suck at it, sometimes I don't, but I wish I would have learned earlier on how to manage projects well and how to really manage my time and how to set goals and even how to create kind of, hey, this is where I am and this is where I want to go. And with Genius Hour, that's exactly what it is. The second part of Genius Hour, the process that I created, the six P's, passion, plan, pitch, project, product, presentation. The second piece or the second P is plan. And that's an opportunity for our learners to think through, hey, how long is my project going to take? And I always say, have them create a major moments timeline. What are five things that have to happen in order for this to move from just being an idea to actually being reality? And in doing so, they're starting to gain those project management skills. And whether you work for yourself, gosh, if you work for yourself, I would imagine this is huge. But whether you work for yourself or for someone else, project management is a big deal. And it will always be a big deal because it's something that regardless of where you work or what you do, You will always be working on projects, and being able to think through those and purposefully plan is a skill that they're going to need. And so as we think about Genius Hour, it's easy to just say, okay, let's pursue our passions and let's jump right into working on the project. But the problem with that is we're not building those skills or those muscles that they're going to need, like project management. So that second part of the process, plan, is a really important step, and it's there on purpose because it's giving them those skills that they're going to need beyond the walls of the classroom. All right, we're getting close to being done. Number six, networking and collaboration. You guys, I know just in the work that I do how valuable this is. But it's hard to, like, when you hear the word networking and collaboration, I think we do talk about collaboration in most classrooms, but do we give our learners the opportunity to network, to really find other people who are interested in the work that they're doing or that has similar interests? Networking for me, like, I love going to conferences, not to go to the sessions. The sessions are great. I enjoy them. But more than anything, I enjoy just the time to network and to say, oh my gosh, like, we are on the same page, or we are doing the same work, and how can we connect and work together to do this really well? And so this idea of giving our learners the opportunity to network around their own passion project is really powerful. And they can do that through social media. Obviously, we want to make sure we're safe about that and that we're smart. But even networking within the community, I think about high school students, that networking needs to start before they graduate high school. They can't wait until, you know, it's already time to start making some of those decisions. And networking can be really powerful. But again, it's a skill that has to be learned. It has to be practiced. I remember the first few conferences I went to, and I had no idea what networking even meant or how to do it. But the more I've practiced it and the more that it's been my reality, it just becomes natural. And how cool would it be if networking and collaboration was just natural for our learners as they entered the workforce, or even as they went to college, right? Networking is really important in college to find your people and to do the things that you want to do. I think specifically in the Genius Hour process about when our learners talk to their outside expert, that's an opportunity for them to collaborate with someone who can share ideas that they may or may not have. And for our gifted learners, that's such an opportunity to understand, like, wait a second, there are people that know more than me, or there are people that know more about this concept than even my teacher does. And as they begin to see that, see beyond the walls of the classroom, how powerful that collaboration and that opportunity to reach out and connect with someone else can be, man, I think it's a game changer. Okay, two more, and then we're gonna be good. All right. The next one is resourcefulness and adaptability. So being resourceful with the things that they have and adapting, being able to pivot when things don't go the way that they think that it should, and adapting to, kind of like we talked about with the resources and the materials. It's not about, you know, you may not be able to get your hands on this specific thing. What are you going to do? How can you adapt? And changing circumstances, right? I may think that I'm going to get to talk to this outside expert. If that doesn't happen, how can I adapt and consider someone else instead? So I think resourcefulness and adaptability are really closely connected to kind of the idea of problem-solving skills, solving some of those problems, and even resilience and risk-taking. Those are all very similar. The last thing that I want to kind of address is resourcefulness and, presentation and communication skills. When our students are given the opportunity to present what they've learned and actually share, hey, here's what I learned and here's what I did with it, that gives them really clarity in what just happened. I think so often when students just work on a project and they do a showcase, there's not that opportunity to really reflect and communicate to others what they've learned. So as students are thinking about their presentation, what we want them to do is reflect on the process, not just here's the really cool thing that I made, but what did you learn as you made that really cool thing? I think reflection is so important. You guys have heard me say it here on the podcast. If you've ever heard me speak, I talk about it all the time. John Dewey said, we don't learn from an experience. We learn from reflecting on an experience. And so if we never give them the opportunity to do that, it'll be as if it never happened. And so we want to make sure that when our students are presenting, that's the last part of the Genius Hour process, by the way. Remember, passion, plan, pitch, project, product, presentation. When they're presenting, what we really want them to do is to reflect on the work that they've done and to reflect on the process. What went well? What didn't go well? What would you do differently if you could do it all over again? And then to be able to communicate that, communication is all throughout Genius Hour. When they're talking with their outside expert, when they're pitching their idea to their peers, when they're working with a thought partner, and then ultimately when they're presenting their idea, they're utilizing those communication skills that we know are so important. So let me go through these one more time. Remember, our connection was between Genius Hour and entrepreneurship and intrapreneurship. And both are important because, like I said at the beginning of this, they are either going to work for themselves or they're going to work for someone else. And I have a sneaky suspicion that this idea of intrapreneurship is going to be huge. It's huge now, but moving forward, it's going to be even more important. I think it's going to be what companies are looking for. Can this person innovate? Can they adapt? Are they resilient? Can they communicate? Do they reflect? Those are skills that they're going to have to be able to get the jobs that they want moving forward beyond the walls of the classroom. All right, here we go. So, Genius Hour encourages creativity and innovation. It gives our learners the opportunity to practice problem-solving skills. It gives them ownership and responsibility, ultimately giving them that autonomy that they so desperately need in order to know what it feels like to be in the driver's seat. Risk-taking and resilience, project management, networking and collaboration. We also talked about resourcefulness and adaptability, and then finally, those presentation and communication skills. So gosh, that was a big list. And I really just wanted to make sure that we could make the connection between why do my students even need to have an entrepreneurial mindset if they're not going to start their own business? And the reality is the answer to that is intrapreneurship, right? And so thinking through the mindset that they're going to have for both of those, these skills are going to have to be in place. So entrepreneurship, intrapreneurship, great words to teach your learners and help them understand, because so many of them will say that, right? Like, oh, I'm not going to have my own business. I don't need to be able to do this. Even if you don't, there has to be a place in working for someone else that you are willing to be creative and innovative and do the same thing that entrepreneurs do. You're just doing it for someone else. So consider those ideas, how you might kind of introduce them to your learners. As always, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you guys have a great morning, great evening, great afternoon. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of A Meaningful Mess. I hope you found inspiration and valuable insights for engaging and empowering gifted learners. If you'd like to connect with me and explore more resources, please visit my website at andymcnair.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at @a_meaningful_mess for regular updates, discussions, and a vibrant community of educators dedicated to making a difference. Your support means the world to me, and I appreciate you being a part of this journey. If you have any questions, feedback, or topics you'd like for me to explore in future episodes, don't hesitate to reach out. Remember, you have the power to create meaningful and impactful learning experiences for your gifted students. Keep up the fantastic work, and thank you for joining me on A Meaningful Mess. Until next time, keep finding meaning in your mess. Happy teaching and learning. I'll talk to you soon.